You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. I want to bring a word this morning from the Gospel according to Mark. I'm in chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. There is a version of it in your bulletin. You can follow along. I think it's close enough to where you can determine where I am as I read. This is coming from the New Revised Standard Version, and it's the story of the healing of the blind man named Bartimaeus. Hear the gospel according to Mark. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. You know, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I know I say that a lot because they're all kind of my favorites, but this one speaks to me because it goes so much deeper than just the physical sight of one man. There's so much good stuff in this passage of Scripture that in this next 15 to 18 minutes, we'll only scratch the surface. Truly, this passage of Scripture is packed with meaning, and we'll do our best to cover the key points this morning, but what I want you to understand as we read is that Jesus is not necessarily healing the sick and the ill and the infirmed for their physical benefit. No, rather, he is healing them for their spiritual benefit. So the way this story goes, as the passage opens, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he's passing through Jericho. And as he exits the city, a blind beggar, who Mark tells us is named Bartimaeus, when Bartimaeus finds out Jesus is coming, he calls out to Jesus in a way that's really interesting. He says, "Jesus, son of David." We all know that Jesus' father was named Joseph. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, son of David. It's a title for Jesus that is specific. It's a reference to Jesus' messianic lineage from the house of David. For the Jewish people knew that the Messiah would come from the house of David. It's also significant because this is the first ripple in a swelling wave of public support for the idea that Jesus is Messiah. It's a wave of support that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem as he makes his triumphal entry into the city later on in chapter 11 of Mark's gospel. And so Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus for mercy. He has reached a point in his brokenness where he realizes that the situation and the circumstances of his life are beyond his ability to fix or control. Have you been there? Have you been at a point where it's just beyond your ability to fix it, to control it? Frankie knows. She's been struggling with that circumstance in the technology for a few days now. Things are just beyond our capacity sometimes. And as blind as Bartimaeus is physically, he's not quite so blind spiritually as are many others. Because he at least has the ability to recognize where his opportunity for healing and restoration lies, that being in Jesus. He understands that much. And so he seizes this opportunity. He cries out as Jesus is exiting Jericho. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I wonder, how many times have I been there? How many times have you been there? How many times have you been lost in the midst of life's trials and tribulations? How many times have you ever been overwhelmed by that heaviness of heart that comes from a perception that the forces of evil operating in the world are coming against you specifically, day after day, time after time after time again? Where it seems that you don't have even the opportunity to catch your breath before the next wave of attacks begins. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I just want to catch my breath. I just want to catch my breath." Have you ever been so burdened by financial pressure or the weight of family issues or the fear of health concerns, so burdened by all those troubles that you finally relent in your desire to handle it all yourself? And you throw your hands up in surrender and you cry out, "Jesus, my Lord and Savior, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me and save me." I can't count the times I have been there. If any of that sounds like where you've been, praise God that you finally gave it all up to Him. But here's the thing. There's so many of us that are in the midst of it even now. And some of us just haven't yet found the way, the capacity to surrender our circumstances to Him. And if that's where you are this morning, there's no criticism, there's no judgment, but I do want you to perk up your ears and pay attention to this story of the blind beggar Bartimaeus, because he has something to teach all of us, I think. If you're not in the midst of it right now, wait a few days, you'll be in the midst of it later. And this will come in handy. See, in verse 48, of Mark's gospel in this chapter 10, it says, "Many sternly ordered him," Bartimaeus, "to be quiet. But instead of being quiet, Bartimaeus cries out even more loudly, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" There will be obstacles placed in your path as you cry out to Jesus for help when you get into those situations, because those powers and principalities working their chaos in your life will throw everything they can in your path. They may even turn up the frequency and the intensity of their assault as you begin to relinquish your control of your burdens and circumstances over to the capable shoulders of your Savior Jesus. See, the devil would rather have you not do that. People may come against you and tell you that what you believe is foolishness. People may tell you to be quiet and stop speaking about Jesus. Oh, how they hate it when you talk about Jesus when they don't believe in Jesus. People may mock you and try to force you into silence, but when that occurs, we have to be like Bartimaeus. We have to cry out to him even more earnestly, with greater intensity. Like blind Bartimaeus, we need to be persistent and relentless in our cry, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Don't let the devil win that battle. Verse 49, Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." See, persistence and steadfast faithfulness in our cry for mercy does not go unnoticed. Because Jesus, our intercessor, sitting even now at the right hand of God, stops and responds to our cry for help. He hears our earnest pleas and he beckons to us to approach him, to draw near to him. He may even accomplish this drawing near by sending others to our aid with help and encouragement. Yes, God uses people to accomplish his purposes in the world. However he chooses to draw us near to him, the point is he is faithful to respond. So we need to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive his grace, however it presents itself to us. How many times we miss the mercy and grace of God because we have blinders on to it. We have our ears closed. We have our hearts closed to receive. We need to be actively looking. As Mark tells us, we need to take heart. We need to get up out of our misery and receive the help that he sends to us. In verse 50, Bartimaeus responds. It says, "So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus." I love that phrase. Don't we all need to come to Jesus every now and then? It's the most powerful imagery in the whole passage, I think. As Bartimaeus gets up from his spot there outside the gate of Jericho, he rises from years of hopelessness. As he begins to respond to Jesus' invitation to come to him, he throws off the cloak that he's been wearing for those many, many years. He throws off the cloak of unbelief. He throws off the cloak of sickness. He throws off the cloak of depravity. He throws off the cloak of fear. He throws off the cloak of his former self. And he runs toward the sound of Jesus' voice. What a sweet voice that must have been for him, penetrating the noise and the chaos, and yes, the darkness of the pressing crowd rising above those telling him to be quiet. He's like a sheep hearing the voice of his shepherd. He runs and he feels his way through the crowd to his Savior's feet. Do you have that kind of determination to respond to the call of Jesus in your life? Where you'll put aside all the naysayers? Will you cast off the cloak of all the circumstances you've been bearing for all those years, and you'll make your way to Jesus' feet, letting nothing get in your way? What cloak are you wearing this morning? What cloak are you wearing in the middle of your circumstances? Whatever it is, know that in the crying out to Jesus for help, his mercy and his strength will pull you up. And as you begin to rise to meet Jesus, his strength will help you to throw off the heavy cloak of your burdens and enable you to follow the sound of his voice, even in the middle of all the noise that surrounds us in this chaotic life. When we respond to Jesus' invitation to come to him, when we throw off our burdensome cloak, when we run and fall at the Master's feet, it is there that we hear him say, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's an interesting question. It would seem obvious to blind Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? Brothers and sisters, there are not sweeter words in our time of trouble than these. What do you want me to do for you? For the Son of God to say to us, to you and to me, what do you want me to do for you, is to us a promise of healing, of redemption, of rescue, if we can just muster the right attitude and words when we respond, if we can just ask for the right thing. You might be thinking, well, wait a minute, Pastor, what do you mean by ask for the right thing? What's the right thing? I don't want to mess this up. How many opportunities do I get to respond to Jesus's question? And the answer is, it's an unlimited opportunity. But in this circumstance, what's the right thing? So we need to look at Bartimaeus because, as I said, he may be physically blind, but he's nowhere near spiritually blind. What does he ask for? How did Bartimaeus respond to Jesus' question? What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus simply says, "My teacher, let me see again." That seems obvious, but he's not necessarily talking about his physical sight. Let me see again. Teacher, I want to see again. As I throw off the cloak of all my life has been before, as I throw off the years of my own fallen human condition, as I crawl out from under all of that mess and begin to rise up above it, let me see again. Let me see the life I was meant to lead. Let me see again the purpose you had in mind for me as the perfect image and likeness of God. Let me see myself as a child of the Most High God. Let me see others as you created them to be. Not the world's perspective, but the Christ perspective. Lord, I don't want to just see again with human eyes. I want to see again as you see. Lord Jesus, let me see again. That's the right question. That's the right response to the question. When we respond to Jesus with the right answer, when we respond to him with an answer that honors God and that is aligned with his perfect will, then he says to us, as he did to this blind beggar Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has made you well." You've been made whole again by the faith that you have in your Lord and your Savior. See, Jesus is faithful to remove the chaos from our hearts and minds when we call on him for mercy. That doesn't mean that the way is going to be made perfectly smooth and you're going to walk or saunter smoothly through the rest of your life. It just means that the chaos, the worry, the anxiety, the things that are burdening you and causing you to have a lack of what we all crave, peace, That's what Christ removes from your experience. Because his grace is sure. It's not just possible, it's certain. The peace he gives does not fail. Through Jesus, we are strengthened to rise above our circumstances and move through them with confidence and assurance and hope. As in the experience of Bartimaeus, the grace Jesus gives results in the immediate regaining of our sight, our ability to see light and hope where once was only darkness and despair. And our proper response for that amazing gift is always thankfulness. Be grateful for the peace that Christ brings. We demonstrate our gratitude by walking with him into our future. We don't just say thanks very much, Jesus, and go our own way after an experience like that. Now we walk with him into our future. We become Christ followers, recipients of divine grace, children and therefore heirs to the kingdom of God. You see, we're transformed by the encounter with Jesus. It changes us fundamentally, makes us different, makes us a new creation. We're never the same. And so our prayer as we respond to the calling of Jesus this morning is, oh Jesus, Son of David, let me see again. In you, Jesus, I take heart. In you, Jesus, I find strength to get up and get going. And in you, Jesus, I see the calling on my life, the purpose you have for my life. And I respond to your call on my life by making you Lord of my life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.